This is the EWN Radio Network.
She's smart. She's successful. She's an executive. She's an entrepreneur. And she's the chief executive of her story. Who is she? She's you. Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network. Your Power Lunch Hour, keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome to the Power Lunch, sponsored by Enterprise Capital, your business partner in commercial real estate and small business financing. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como, joined with my handsome co-host, Jay Como. We're the only news talk show bringing you women headliners for the week and those making their own news.
And also welcome to our first full week of 2015. We're kicking off this year with an Arctic freeze across the country. It was 19 degrees today in Dallas this morning. I shouldn't complain, however, as my folks up in the Northeast are freezing in sub-zero temperatures. So wherever you are in the U.S., I hope you're staying warm.
And I wish we had more holidays during the winter months. It would be such a great excuse to head to warmer areas. Phoenix, for instance, was a nice 81 degrees today.
I tend to agree with you. However, did you know that the Super Bowl is in Phoenix in a few weeks? Wouldn't it be a great idea for us to head down there for an early anniversary vacation?
Really, you're making a plug to have our anniversary around the Super Bowl? Wow, a weekend of football for my anniversary vacation sounds very lonely for you.
It coincides with our anniversary. It's not my fault.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I thought it was a nice try. Let's try something a little easier. Following us on social media and downloading our mobile app.
Yes.
You can download our mobile app on the Apple Store, Google Play, or the Amazon Store. Just look for Power Lunch with Mona Lisa Como. You can also download the podcast on iTunes.
And as always, we'd love to hear from you on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+, LinkedIn, or email. You can find all our contact information on www.ewnradionetwork.com/power-lunch. You'll also find some of the great hosts on the EWN Radio Network. Please check them out.
And so today, we have a full news hour to kick off the new year right. Between politics to the newest entrepreneurs or executives in the marketplace, let's get started.
Well, at the beginning of any year, there are two things you can always expect: resolutions and predictions. Well, about 45% of Americans make New Year's resolutions, according to a University of Scranton survey, and yet only 8% state they are successful in the end. And since it takes 21 days to form a change in habits, most resolutions should be done in a few weeks.
I'm very successful at making resolutions. Resolutions generally mean an announcement, but definitely a change. So, well, speaking of change, the 114th Congress was sworn into office this past Monday with the largest Republican majority-dominated House since the Great Depression. It also means that the highest number of women ever serving in the Congress, at 104, has now started.
And while there were a number of newly elected women sworn in this week, one well-known female politician made a major announcement going the other way. Yesterday it was announced that Senator Barbara Boxer, Democratic Senator of California, will be retiring. She made her announcement on YouTube, interesting, with her grandson interviewing her, that she will finish out her current fifth-year term, but she will not be seeking re-election in 2016, and that's only a year away. She stated in her interview, "I want to come home to the great state that I love, California." Mr. Technocrat, give us the breakdown of her great career.
So this is big news, and certainly the Senate can't afford to lose a Democrat, can't afford to lose another Senate seat, is what I meant to say, although I don't think it's going to be at risk in California. The 74-year-old senator has had a remarkable career thus far. Born in Brooklyn, New York, Boxer graduated from Brooklyn College. She worked as a stockbroker for several years before moving to California with her husband. During the 70s, she worked as a journalist for the Pacific Sun and was an aide to the representative, U.S. Representative John Burton, who was representative at the time. He went on to become a massive powerhouse in Northern California politics. So she served on the Marin County Board of Supervisors for 6 years and became the board's first female president. And she had this slogan, "Barbara Boxer gives a damn." I think that pertained to funding for a dam up in Marin County. She was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives in 82, representing California District 6.
But where's Marin County? Is that over by the East Bay?
No, it's actually north of the city.
Is that Napa? So she represents the great vineyards.
A little south of it, but you got to go through her to get there.
Interesting that she was first a stockbroker and then a journalist and now a career politician. Definitely a Renaissance woman.
So she won the 1992 election for the U.S. Senate. This is interesting. She previously held the record for the most popular vote in any U.S. Senate election in the history of time, having received 6.96 million votes in her 2004 re-election. Foundation. And this was actually shattered, and she held it until Dianne Feinstein shattered it.
I feel like I've known her forever. The 1992 election's
she's
not...
She's been there forever.
Well, and also that means I'm old, because that was actually the first... The 1992 election was the first election I could vote for. I was 18. And living in California, she was my senator, or our senator, until we left about a decade ago.
But she was certainly a powerhouse in the Democratic Party, and is one of the senior political women on Capitol Hill. She's been a stalwart for the Democratic Party in the Senate as the chief deputy whip, and she's also the chair of the Environmental and Public Works Committee, and also the chair of the Select Committee on Ethics. And I believe that makes her the only sitting senator to preside over two committees simultaneously.
Well, you know, it was great when she won in 1992. She had served alongside the Golden State senior senator, as you had mentioned, Dianne Feinstein.
Die-fi.
Making up one of the first all-women Senate teams from any of the 50 states. Now, I know you, coming from the state of Maine, you also had a powerhouse duo of women sitting on the Senate as well.
Yeah, we had two Republicans for many, many years, Sue Collins, who still sits, and Olympia Snowe, whose Senate seat has now been taken by the former governor of Maine, Angus King, who, after Olympia Snowe, decided to step down. But we did have two females representing Maine for many years.
Dianne Feinstein, when asked about it, was very devastated. In a statement yesterday, she stated, "Well, we blazed many trails together, Barbara Boxer and I'm eager to see where her next steps will take her."
So this is funny. You remember we read the other day that Joni Ernst got a call from President Obama?
Yeah,
and she didn't answer it
because she didn't recognize the number.
Yeah,
right? So she kept sending the White House the switchboard to voicemail.
The voicemail. Yeah, it's not that she didn't answer it because the president was calling, but she didn't know who it was. Well, anyway, we had the same thing happen here. Apparently, they also asked Representative Nancy Pelosi in a news conference yesterday. She's a rep out of California, out of San Francisco, as everyone knows, regarding her thoughts on Boxer's departure. So
she hadn't heard yet.
No, and she appeared to be shocked, stating, "Barbara left me a message earlier today stating she wanted to talk to me personally. I thought she just wanted dinner." Pelosi went on, though, to describe her admiration and respect for Boxer's commitment to the American public and obviously the state of California as well.
And I was watching the interview. She started to get choked up because I think it started to dawn on her, Nancy Pelosi, that the news. But it was interesting because she was truly shocked. She like literally almost looked at her phone saying, oh, is that what I missed on the phone call? So now the big question, who will replace the longtime senator in a highly blue state? Well, hot off the press, Washington Post had already started with the headline, "Boxer exits setting stage for an epic California Senate battle." An epic battle is definitely something I think that will describe this upcoming election.
Yeah, epic. Epic really only among the Democrats, because the Republicans don't have a shot there. They haven't held a statewide office since Arnie left, and he was a rhino at best. And so it's a pretty Democratic state. But the battle will be in the primary.
The primary will be epic because everyone's been waiting forever for an open Senate
that's
seat.
Right, that's right. So the retirement sets up what could be a massive, protracted, and incredibly expensive Democratic primary to replace her. This state actually, to your point, hasn't had an open seat since Bush 41. And conventional wisdom is that Boxer's replacement will not face a tough Republican candidate. So California has a number of wealthy and very eager Democratic politicians and businessmen and women who know this is their one shot to make the U.S. Senate.
And the campaigning, I'm assuming, has already started, as Boxer's seat is up for re-election again in only 1 year. USA Today's article yesterday also stated that the California bench of potential Democratic candidates is very deep, adding to the speculation of the number of well-funded and well-known candidates in the primary, as to your point, Jay. In fact, former Congresswoman Ellen Tauscher, which I found funny, told the San Francisco Chronicle yesterday when she had heard, "It's going to look like the Oklahoma land rush," end of quote. So who is on the long and short list, Jay, for the primary runoff?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Tauscher. I'll just a quick bit on her. So she was a long-serving East Bay, as you mentioned earlier, Congresswoman, and was tapped in the Obama administration to a sub-cabinet post. So she was also a broker, an investment banker early in her career.
Woo-hoo.
And so I don't know that she'll be on the list, but not cast of thousands, but cast of the obvious. There's current Lieutenant Governor, former San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom. He's got the looks of a president.
Also highly liked within the state, right?
He's liked within the state.
I mean, has he ever gone up in a serious contentious battle? I mean,
no.
The anointed one.
I honestly think his toughest battle was the first time he ran for mayor against a Green Party candidate in San Francisco. He actually has some political courage, too. I remember many years ago, probably 10, 12 years ago, he, in San Francisco, decided to honor same-sex marriages before it was legal in the state. He actually broke the law. And,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, remember that? And
yeah.
It's funny how naive I was, because I thought that was the end of his career, and he's done quite well since then. So there's him. There's Gavin Newsom. There's Attorney General Kamala Harris, and she's been fundraising heavily, and she has a massive party base. I think she's probably the base candidate if Gavin Newsom doesn't run. Interesting that they're both from San Francisco.
But both of them are campaigning right now for Governor Brown's seat, campaigning.
I think he's the Attorney General. Kamala Harris has been on the short list for Brown's seat, but this could change things. And I don't think Gavin Newsom goes for the Senate seat. I think, although he's very close to Dianne Feinstein, so it'd be interesting to serve in the Senate with her. I just don't think he's going to go there.
If I'm Gavin Newsom, go for the governor, because I think your eye for the presidential nomination is easier.
And you always say that governors make good presidents.
They do.
Rounding out the list is former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, who I liked a lot, and he was viewed as a reformer. He took on the unions in Los Angeles, and he's just got a spark to him as well. So it's definitely an interesting cast out there.
You can also expect the billionaire climate activist Tom Steyer as well. Well, California being California, what would it be in a political race if there weren't some well-known names from Hollywood or Silicon Valley who would be interested in running? After all, this is the same state that elected two actors, Ronald Reagan and Arnold Schwarzenegger, as governors. So what do you think? Senator Clooney, Senator Affleck, Larry Ellison, or Senator Schmidt? Or even Senator Marissa Mayer? Schwarzenegger, by the way, has already told the Associated Press in last year's conference that he had no interest in ever running for political office again. But that doesn't mean his ex-wife, Maria Shriver, who has political blood in her veins, isn't interested either.
So Mayer would be interesting. She would follow along the lines of Steve Wesley, the former state controller, who was really a Silicon Valley guy with no elected experience and made a bunch of money from eBay, i.e. pre-Meg Whitman running for governor. And he was successfully ran for the comptroller and won it and held it for a while. And so that would be interesting. She's also a pretty heavy Democratic donor, but I don't know. At the end of the day, I don't see her going there. I think the top two candidates, from my view, would be, I suspect that Gavin Newsom stays on the sidelines as lieutenant governor to run for Jerry Brown's seat as Jerry Brown exits his 34th term as governor of California. And that would leave Kamala Harris and, I don't know, maybe Villaraigosa, maybe Jackie Speier. But I do think Kamala Harris is going to be right there.
Well, I hope so, because it will be unfortunate to lose ground on women in the Senate. So I'm extremely hopeful that we see a strong list of women contenders that put their name on the list. I like the AG, Kamala Harris, whom I've heard is very well regarded, to your point.
She used to date Willie Brown many years ago.
That's why I remember her from back in the day.
She was like 40 years older than her.
And she's probably not strong enough to win the governor mansion, only because Gavin Newsom is the lieutenant right now.
I agree, but I think it'd be a good fight.
But do you really think that she could win the gubernatorial race? That's my point.
I think that she would give Gavin Newsom a good run for her money.
Well, if we see other notable names out of Silicon Valley, I do think the Democratic race could benefit from a Marissa Mayer, even though it's only rumored. Somebody put her name on the list. She didn't. And I think J.U. had mentioned in previous segments that she's also a fairly big donor to the Democratic Party. So the CEO of Yahoo could possibly throw her name in the hat. And, of course, from the Republican Party, even though it's a long stretch, it would be interesting if Carly Fiorina, former Hewlett-Packard HP, runs again. Actually, I'm pretty darn sure a Republican cannot win that ticket. Then again, Massachusetts proved us wrong when Senator Ted Kennedy passed away and a Republican took his seat.
Yeah, that didn't last long, though, right? It was a stunner, though. Either way, whomever gets there, we will be watching the California Senate race, as it has broad implications, not just within the state and the Democratic Party there, but nationally for the fight for votes in the Senate. So closing out the 114th Congress, this past Monday, the most diverse Congress was sworn into office. This Congress welcomed more women than ever before, 19% of the House and 20% of the Senate females. And so coincidentally, where does that put the U.S. in comparison to other legislatures in the world? The United States now ranks 98th in the world for the percentage of women serving in its national legislature, behind Indonesia and Kenya, among other places.
98th behind
Indonesia, the bastion of tolerance and democracy.
Okay, well, that was sobering. Not really what I was hoping to get out of that statistic. I was feeling good about our numbers until that comparison. That's not good, so that's our battle cry, ladies. While it's great to celebrate that it's the best year we've had thus far to see in Congress, and considerable gains to see women represented on both sides of the aisle, that's a humiliating statistic. And if you're looking to run in the next 2016 election, give us a call. We'd love to have you on our show to give you an additional platform to get the word out about your campaign. We will do our part.
So given your proclivities to run for office as the mayor of Washington, D.C., I don't suspect we're moving back to California for you to run for Senate.
No, thank you, though.
Will you be calling Maria Shriver or Marissa Mayer?
They probably won't call us, though, but we can definitely try. Well, let's take a break. We have a jam-packed hour as we are also covering the top women entrepreneurs to watch in 2015. It's a great and enlightening list of women. More when we return.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Did you know banks decline more commercial loans than they approve? In fact, national banks approve less than 20% of all business loans submitted. And that doesn't include the loans that don't even qualify. But at Inter Pares Capital, we are here to overcome those odds. We are a nationally recognized commercial brokerage firm with access to thousands of public and private lending institutions. That means we have more options to finance you than your bank does. Whether you are a startup or in need of debt refinancing or growth capital, we can help. We do the heavy lifting so you can focus on running your business. Contact us today for a free consultation with one of our business advisors at 855-365-1930. At Inter Pares Capital, we are your business partner in finance.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network, your Power Lunch Hour keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome back to the Power Lunch, sponsored by Inter Pares Capital, your partner for commercial real estate and small business. If you need capital for your startup or your business, they are your one-stop shop for all your financing needs. Before break, we reviewed the top women headliners of the week in the political atmosphere and the announcement of Senator Boxer's retirement. One name that was floated as a replacement but not confirmed interest is Marissa Mayer, CEO of Yahoo. Jay, Marissa made the headlines again this week for a different reason.
So she's not feeling real popular with one of her large institutional investors.
A different one from the last time we reported about this.
Yes, this is a different one. This is Starboard Value, who sent a letter to Yahoo's board of directors. Now, this letter was not very complimentary of the current CEO. And for perspective, Starboard owns 7.7 million shares in Yahoo. Their main concerns? How Yahoo will be monetizing their proceeds from the Alibaba investment in Yahoo Japan.
Marissa, always a darling for the business community as well as the news. Well, she might want to head to politics, where it almost feels like the environment will be just as hostile as her current CEO seat.
So let me ask you, we've talked about this. Give me your thoughts on activist investors.
What are they? What are they supposed to be and what are they?
Activist investors is really a misnomer. They're arbitragers, and Starboard is showing their colors. They don't want Yahoo making any more investments in acquisitions until it's a merger with AOL, which is what I've heard. And Starboard also owns approximately 1.1 million shares. My take is that they are trying to recoup the losses of their investments in AOL, which a Yahoo merger would increase their value, but not necessarily agree that's a great long-term solution for all shareholders.
And by the way, I don't even know what AOL does these days. Like, what do they do? All I know is Tim Armstrong is the CEO. They're headquartered in Virginia. He's a Republican donor. I think they're known for their content at this point, but I haven't seen AOL content since Jerry Brown was elected to his first term.
And let's be honest, anybody who still has an AOL email address, you were born, you're a child of the 80s or the 90s. There's nobody that's a millennial that owns an AOL email address. I'm pretty darn certain of that.
I know a CIO for a Fortune 500 company, who's, and you know him too, whose personal email is an AOL.
I know, I think we made fun of him.
It's somewhat of a misnomer. All right, so anyway, back to Starboard. In summary, what they're saying is, one, their concern is that with this stockpile of cash that we've talked about for a long time, there are certain acquisitions that are being rumored. And yeah, that's what companies do when they've lost the identity of their brand, when they're losing market share. They go out and decide what they're going to do. They make acquisitions. Now, Yahoo has the cash. And so apparently Starboard doesn't like who they believe Yahoo to buy. In the letter to the board, if you do not merge with AOL, then you need to change your leadership.
And that's not surprising, but Yahoo, of course, had no comment at this time. So good luck with Yahoo, and on to other women in business who made headlines this past week as well. A name that's well-known on Wall Street, Sally Krawcheck. She's the former president of the Global Wealth and Investment Management Division of Bank of America, as we commonly know them on Wall Street as Mother Merrill Lynch. It's the largest wealth management business in the world at $2.3 trillion in client assets. Well, since Sally left Wall Street in the C-suite offices, she's more well-known for her work in empowering women executives by acquiring a very well-known Wall Street women networking group called 85 Broad, one of the oldest women's networking groups on Wall Street. And for those of you that don't know about 85 Broad, B-R-O-A-D, it got its name because it was located on 85 Broad Street. It's now known as the organization Elevate.
I remember you attending 85 Broad events back when we lived in New York. This was like the lean-in group before Sheryl Sandberg made it cool and trendy. Under Sally Krawcheck's leadership, Elevate is now one of the largest and most influential women's networking groups globally, spanning all industries from 85 Broad, which was just financial services. And in less than 2 years, this has happened in less than 2 years since she's taken over. And it's grown in size and influence, and she is the mantra of women investing in women as well.
Yes, last year she launched what was very interesting and groundbreaking. Sally and her organization launched PAX Elevate Global Women's Index Fund. It's a fund that invests in the highest rated 400-plus companies in the world for advancing women while providing broad global equity exposure. It is the first and only fund of its kind. In addition, a portion of her membership fees of Elevate are directly invested in the fund, and if members want to invest directly, they have the opportunity to invest in the institutional share class of the fund as well.
She's never been afraid to speak her mind, and she's never pulled punches. I mean, she's really cool.
Yeah.
So she's made the headlines. I mean, what she's done with 85 Broad, turning it into Elevate, she's focused all of that energy that made her an amazing, successful executive into turning that into something amazing. So she said recently on Bloomberg that if women were as economically engaged as gentlemen in this economy, our GDP would be 7 to 9 points larger.
Well, Jay, you're absolutely right. She's never known to be shy, and I'm frankly embarrassed I've not covered her more on the show. Honestly, taking for granted that everyone knows Sally coming from Wall Street, and obviously being from there, I'm just assuming that everybody knows about Sally. She's impressive. She's extremely articulate, and would love to see her take a run for a political office. That's, again, another shameless plug for more powerful running for elected office. I would love to see Sally Krawcheck run in the 2016 presidential primaries. She's an independent, and she should also run as an independent rather than join either party. Again, shameless plug. But back to her making headlines this past week with her interview on Bloomberg TV. She's actually kind of following up on an article that came out on the Kaufman Report that said women-owned businesses represent 30% of all firms, but only 16% of firms that have employees and 10% of high-growth firms. Sally was commenting how improving these statistics would have a macroeconomic impact on our economy for the better. Her comment, though, was not intended to be a slight on women. It was meant to discuss the potential and opportunity we have as women if more of us are representing ourselves and running firms and starting more businesses.
So you might call me the technocrat, but you seem to be the woman's political rainmaker.
I love that woman.
So we haven't covered her that much, and frankly, we're probably covering Marissa too much. So let's report more on Sally. She's truly moving the dial for women, whether investing in their businesses or their careers. And so back to her comments, though, do you feel that women take her comments as a slight?
You know, maybe I'm just being hypersensitive, or actually I really am, because whenever a powerful woman comes out and shakes us down to do more, I always cringe because there's always criticism followed. And unfortunately, it tends to be by other women. For instance, when Sheryl Sandberg came out with her Lean In, I was so excited and then gave it a week, and then like three or four articles were written about how Lean In is not that great, including, You know, even a year later, I think Martha Stewart was criticizing Lean In, which I don't think personally helps the cause. And I do believe that there's too much sensitivity that women could do more in running their own businesses and leading companies. But I'm not saying it's our fault, only that we have to do more to ensure stats like the U.S. being 98th in the world for women leadership in the legislature behind Indonesia. Those kind of statistics need to be fixed. So I think Sally's doing her part by throwing down the gauntlet and saying, this is how much bigger our economy could be if women could just be a part more of the business sector and growing the economy.
Clearly someone's disturbed by the statistics.
Yeah, that was a buzzkill. Ranking behind Indonesia. No offense to Indonesia and Kenya, but we offer a lot of great opportunities for women to be leaders. We just need to fix that balance of women seeing themselves as candidates. And it starts with throwing your name in the hat, ladies. But I digress, because we were giving the update on women in business who made the headlines this past week. Who else do we have on our list of headliners?
So we got another one from this week. She's not a well-known name on the business network, but she is very well-known within the hedge fund space. Her name is Lita Baraga. She was dubbed by CNBC as the most powerful woman in hedge funds for launching and leading an $8.5 billion Geneva-based fund, Systematica Investments.
I do like this update to close out on the business update, since it ties nicely into Sally starting a fund focused on women businesses. Braga is not focused on women-run businesses or those empowering women.
She's hedge fund. She's focused on making money.
She is. Braga leads this enormous fund, and it's groundbreaking. CNBC reported this past week that the 48-year-old, she's a young one, has risen quickly in the elite, very elite hedge fund space. She is Brazilian descent and received her doctorate in engineering from Imperial College in London, where she was also a lecturer, so she's definitely a smarty pants. She then moved to J.P. Morgan, working as a quant analyst on the derivative side, which is also uncommon to see a woman on that side of the shop. That's where she met Michael Platt, who is the founder of Bluecrest, where he recruited her in 2001. 3 years later, she launched and managed one of the Bluecrest's largest strategies and funds, Blue Trend. Well, Letta broke off the Bluecrest late last year by formally starting Systematica Investments this month after years under prominent European hedge fund firm Bluecrest Capital Management. Letta Braga, now head of the largest women-led hedge fund in the world, Systematica Investments, at $8.5 billion.
I think Letta Braga is going to be your equivalent, your moral equivalent of my Leo Apotheca. I think you're going to just want to say Letta Braga.
I like your name too, yeah.
I like it. That was definitely a powerhouse update. The CEO of Yahoo, Sally Krawchak, and Letta Braga. Pretty powerful group of women leading the charge in business and financial services, but our feature next is exciting as it devotes nicely into what Sally said in seeing more women entrepreneurs. When we return, our feature focus is the 2015 top women entrepreneurs to watch in the upcoming year. Their stories will inspire you to start your own business. More when we return from a well-needed coffee break.
We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Did you know banks decline more commercial loans than they approve? In fact, national banks approve less than 20% of all business loans submitted. And that doesn't include the loans that don't even qualify. But at InterParis Capital, we are here to overcome those odds. We are a nationally recognized commercial brokerage firm with access to thousands of public and private lending institutions. That means we have more options to finance you than your bank does, whether you are a startup or in need of debt refinancing or growth capital. We can help. We do the heavy lifting so you can focus on running your business. Contact us today for a free consultation with one of our business advisors at 855-365-1930. At InterParis Capital, we are your business partner in finance.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
She's smart. She's successful. She's an executive. She's an entrepreneur. And she's the chief executive of her story. Who is she? She's you. Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network, your Power Lunch Hour, keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome back to the Power Lunch, sponsored by Enterprise Capital, your small business partner in financing your entrepreneurial dreams. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como, joined by my handsome co-host, Jay Como. We are the only news radio talk show focused on women headliners.
And so to our next featured segment. Have you ever wanted to be your own boss? Want to take your own destiny into your own hands? Did you ever feel you have a great idea for a business but just didn't know how to kick it off? Well, tune in to the next half hour and we'll review the 2015 women entrepreneurs whose stories will truly inspire and motivate you to bring your dreams to fruition in 2015.
Well, putting the segment together was fun, mainly due to the education and awareness I received in learning about each of these wonderful women. The worst part was narrowing the list down, as there are so many great women blazing the trails as entrepreneurs that don't make as many headlines as the notables as Spanx billionaire founder Sarah Blakely.
So let's go through the list. Entrepreneur Magazine published their annual rankings of the best franchises called the Entrepreneur Franchise 500 list, their de facto version of the Fortune 500, so for corporations. The 2015 ranking was just released, and we have it hot off the press, literally burning up your fingers, and it's right in front of me. This esteemed ranking of franchises is the metric used by the franchise industry to gauge the best of the best, as well as identify leading trends.
Yes, if you're a franchisor or franchisee owner, you want your franchise on this Franchise 500 ranking. Jay, what were the top trends noted this year?
So the U.S. continues to be the biggest market, one would note, for franchise growth. But global expansion for the franchise industry is starting to take the lead. In fact, 55% of the growth of franchises launched last year were outside of the U.S. And as you and I just recently heard on Fox Business News, Dunkin' Donuts, my favorite franchise for an investment, and I like to go there, announced this week that they're opening 1,200 franchise units in China alone. So global expansion is at the top of the list in terms of trend. Four segments are leading the way for franchise success on this year's ranking. There's quick serve restaurant, there's maintenance, personal care, and children's business.
Yeah, and I would actually put education and children under that sector. Well, I'm excited about these trends because we have women powerhouses leading the top franchises in each of these areas. First name on the list is the seventh highest ranking franchise, which you wouldn't expect, is led by a woman. ServPro, headed by CEO Susan Steen, is also the eldest child of ServPro founders Ted and Doris Isaacson. Sue Steen began working in the ServPro system as a teenager. Prior to joining the company led by her parents as the CEO in 1995, she gained extensive experience with Coopers & Lybrand, a formerly a Big Eight accounting firm, where she was a partner in 1987 and until 1995 when she left to go to ServPro to manage the company her parents founded.
So do you know ServPro? They've got some unique commercials. They've got a commercial.
I want to say I do. They're trucks. That I definitely have. But marketing, no, I don't
think
so.
So the commercial is like a home, a residential home. And it's peace and tranquil. And then a big storm hits and it flashes over to where it's like under 6 foot of water. And they said, do you need help cleaning the cell? ServPro. So we don't watch a lot of TV.
Well, that was a great plug for them.
it seems that those are newer commercials and not common to me. But what's also not common is a woman leading this type of business. This is a Tennessee-based company. And it, as I said, cleaning up after personal and natural disasters for more than 46 years. Been around 46 years.
That's impressive.
They have nearly 1,700 franchisees, and it's still growing globally. So they, as we mentioned the trends before, there's global expansion there. One of their biggest gains for franchise owners is the launch of a new ServPro tool that restores damaged documents, photographs, and medical files via vacuum freeze-dry system. That sounds pretty high-tech. And this is endorsed by the United States Library for Congress, so clearly if they endorse
that's
it...
That's a huge endorsement.
Yeah, I think they know a thing or two about document retention and maintenance. So franchise startup costs range between $140,000 to $180,000, and there's a $44,000 franchise fee. So it's somewhat affordable compared to the big name quick restaurant.
Well, that's great news to see a woman-led franchise at the top 10 franchise 500 ranking. And to your point, to see Sue Steen leading a disaster restoration service, absolutely fantastic. Well, next on our list is also in the top 50 of the franchises. Her company is Cruise Planners, and she comes in at number 22 overall. The co-founder and CEO is Michelle Fee. She's extremely well-known in the travel industry. She's also on the Cruise Liners Hall of Fame. Believe it or not, they do have a Hall of Fame. She's on the advisory board, which you would enjoy this, Jay, just because we're both big fans of being on advisory boards in general, of all the major cruise liners and travel agencies. She sits on the boards of American Express Travel, Royal Caribbean, Norwegian Cruise Lines, Celebrity and Carnival Cruise Lines, and these are the advisory boards. While her company is ranked number 22 overall of all franchisees, She's number one in travel.
Cruise Planners is one of the nation's largest home-based travel franchises, especially given its partnership with American Express. As you mentioned, she sits on the board for them, and so I think that drives a lot of her business. Michelle, once a travel agent herself, had successful years running her own full-service travel agency with another partner. She then joined forces with some of the best in the industry and co-founded Cruise Planners in 1994.
So it's relatively young, and it's also relatively affordable for her franchisees. I think it's actually one of the cheapest I've seen out there, and it makes it an attractive investment for new owners. So if you're interested in starting up your new business this year, definitely take a look at it. The initial startup costs range between $2,000 and
$22,000. Wait a minute. We could get kickbacks on travel. Why aren't we doing this?
And I know. Seriously. And remember what I said? I had stated that when I retire, I want my second career to be doing something in the travel industry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the franchise fee is also fairly low, between $500 and $10,000. With already 1,700 franchise units across the United States and growing, Michelle's business model will surely grow within the next year as well. I'm just going to go find a Cruise Planner franchise owner to book our next vacation, unless you want to actually find a Cruise Planner franchise to build. But definitely a great investment for $2,000 just for a startup fee.
Perhaps both are on the horizon for us. Next on the list at number 34 is one of our favorites, and I think some of our earlier dates was sharing their pretzels. Auntie Anne's ranked number 34 best franchise in 2015, led by Anne Byler. Her franchise is also the highest ranked woman-led franchise in the quick service food category. With close to 1,600 franchises globally, Aunt Anne's store can be found in shopping centers, airports, and I know this because in Philly, every time I've landed there, I've had a hot dog, a bagel dog from the one there. Yeah, and then there's one here in Dallas, too. I try to stay away from that because I start my flights early, and it's probably not good to have a hot dog first thing in the morning. But after a long flight for lunch, different story. They're in train stations as well across the U.S. and Asia and the Middle East, and they have some business in the United Kingdom and Venezuela. The Lancaster-based franchise requires an investment between $200,000 and $350,000 with a $30,000 franchise fee.
For those of you that's never got into the franchise industry, if you're looking at the quick service, the quick food service, you're always going to look at the $200 to $300 investment for startup. Well, the founder story is an interesting one that we'll spend a little bit of time on. She was born into an Amish family and faith. Her biography is spelled out in her book, Twist of Faith, which came out a few years ago. Her book details the pain of losing her toddler, who was run over by a tractor driven by her older sister. She also details the devastation of confessing to a 6-year sexual relationship with their pastor, who was supposedly helping her recover from losing her daughter, who also abused the position in the church with other women as well. Well, finally, after trying to rebuild her relationship with her husband, learning only years later that her other daughter was also sexually abused by the same pastor. So despite all of this turmoil, she started noticing her baked pretzels sold out after she started rolling the pretzels in person and baking them in front of the customers. Eventually, Byler bought her own stand at the farmer's market, calling that Auntie Anne's, and then launched her first storefront in 1988, and a decade later started opening up her first franchisees.
So that's a very sad but somewhat uplifting story to hear how she travailed through it all to launch this company that's quite successful. The other interesting note is that she has carried the success rolling the pretzels in front of customers to their storefronts today. I mean, that's how they do it now, even still. I didn't realize that was being part of the marketing strategy to draw you in, but now I get it, right? I'm a big consumer of there. But her story definitely makes you feel that if she can start a world-renowned franchise with all that she went through, there's no reason why no one else can do it. And just for record, you're seeing the dichotomy of two vernaculars. You've got the traditional East Coaster Aunt Anne's, and then you've got my Polynesian West Coast wife.
It's Auntie.
I'm not even sure.
It's Auntie. We say Auntie. We don't say
Aunt. You need to call it Auntie Aunt.
Did I say it? Auntie?
Yeah, you didn't go there.
Let's move on to another powerhouse on the Franchise 500 list. Coming in three rings lower at number 37 is CEO Rhoda Olson of a very well-known franchise, Great Clips. You've seen them everywhere.
That's because they are everywhere. The Minneapolis-based franchise has the largest footprint of hair salon franchises, boasting 3,500 units in last year alone. And if it feels like they're sprouting up everywhere you look, that's accurate as well. They've opened up 200 new franchise units in the last year alone as well, and over 500 stores in the last 3 years. With the startup investment for these guys going from $115,000 to $200,000 and a $20,000 franchise fee, Great Clips continues to be a hot commodity for new franchisees owners.
And Rhoda Olson, the CEO, can be credited for that growth as well. Her story is interesting. She's been very committed to the Great Clips organization. In fact, Entrepreneur listed her as number two as their franchising woman to watch of 2015. Rhoda joined Great Clips in 1987, and actually she was related to one of the three partners. Her brother was one of the three that started Great Clips. She came on board actually to help out as an HR executive to help smoothen out the operational issues that they had in launching their franchisees. In 1988 and 1,100 franchises later, she was promoted to president. So after about, 11 years.
That never happened.
She was
never
promoted
see
to
an
president.
HR executive go to president. That's fascinating.
It was great. And then 13 years later, after she had taken over as president, she was then promoted to CEO, and she now oversees the burgeoning largest hair salon franchise in the United States.
There's 40 years of covering business. Oh, wait, I'm 44 years old. So
You started when you were
24 years of reading about business. I've never heard Corner Suite being filled by an HR person. It's a really cool story. Another franchise that this one I try not to hit up too much because it's not good for my midsection. Next on our list is Cinnabon, number 65 for the Franchise 500 rankings in 2015. And much like Ann Leader's Ann's, the Atlanta-based Cinnabon can be found primarily in shopping centers and airports, as we know, with 1,200 franchise units. And the startup cost is between $180,000 and $350,000 and $30,000 annually in franchise fees. It's one of the fastest growing franchises in quick service. It's grown 20% annually in the last 3 years. And at the helm running Cinnabon is CEO Kate Cole. This is an interesting story.
It is. I must be in the food space. We have interesting CEO stories. Well, how befitting to close out the top franchise woman leaders with one of the youngest women on the list as well, and probably the most eclectic story. Kate Cole is only 36 years old. She's a CEO and started her career at Hooters. Yes, ladies, at Hooters. Well, she started off at the bottom, seriously starting off as a waitress and eventually rising within the ranks to be an executive vice president at age 26. In 2010, Cinnabon recruited her to their senior ranks, promoting her within a year to president and CEO. In 2013, Fortune ranked her on their 40 under 40 list, which ranks the top 40 executives under 40 years old. She's also somewhat of a celebrity. She was on Undercover Boss, if you've ever seen that show, where it takes a boss and puts them in the rank and file and works, and then you find out what's really going wrong within your front office and in operations and not knowing that you're working with the CEO. Well, she was on Undercover Boss in 2012, where she worked anonymously in several of her own Cinnabon retail stores.
So many a great executive, male or female, they have a good story, but going from a waitress at Hooters to CEO of Cinnabon, that's truly amazing. That's a good turnaround story, a good long. And by the way, she's 36, you said?
36.
And she was president when she was 34 or CEO when she was 34?
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So I wonder if Hooters now offers great cinnamon rolls. Maybe there's a partnership opportunity there for them. I heard people go there for the great food, so maybe there's something else to add to the menu. I, frankly, have never been there, nor do I want to go.
You don't need to worry about their menu, so that's okay.
I'm not worried.
Well, that rounds out our top franchises of 2015 with women executives in the franchise world. We still have more when we return from break.
And I'm not worried about Hooters menu.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Did you know banks decline more commercial loans than they approve? In fact, national banks approve less than 20% of all business loans submitted. And that doesn't include the loans that don't even qualify. But at Inter Pares Capital, we are here to overcome those odds. We are a nationally recognized commercial brokerage firm with access to thousands of public and private lending institutions. That means we have more options to finance you than your bank does, whether you are a startup or in need of debt refinancing or growth capital. We can help. We do the heavy lifting so you can focus on running your business. Contact us today for a free consultation with one of our business advisors at 855-365-1930. At Inter Pares Capital, we are your business partner in finance.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network, your Power Lunch Hour keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome back to the Power Lunch, hosted by Interpares Capital, your one-stop shop for all your financing needs. If you have a startup or need of additional capital for your business to grow, contact the folks at Interpares Capital today. Well, I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como, joined by my handsome co-host, Jay Como.
We're on the last stretch, and while our last segment covered the impressive women to watch on the top franchise women of the esteemed Franchise 500 list, covering the several women in the top 100 rankings, the next two women are not ranked very high on the Franchise 500 list, but are notable featured entrepreneurs to watch in 2015 from our estimations. The first is Zana Homan, CEO of School of Rock.
Yeah, this is an interesting run because I've seen one in our community, and it just stuck out, just even the name.
I always think of Jack Black when I see
that place. Yeah, and I thought it came out specifically for the movie. Well, School of Rock is a Chicago-based music education program. It has only 130 franchise units, but it's growing. Well, Entrepreneur actually put the CEO, Dazana Homan, as a woman to watch because she has a classic American success story. She is a survivor of the Balkans Wars of the 90s. She emigrated from Bosnia to the U.S. in 1995. When she came to the U.S., she could speak absolutely no English, but had a fierce desire to live successfully, quote, in a free country. That's so inspiring. Well, she put herself through graduate school at New Mexico State University, earning her master's in electrical engineering. Well, because of grant funding delays by her future employer, she was given an opportunity to go work for Jet Propulsion Lab, NASA's R&D center. She couldn't because they were lacking funding at the time. So she took a job at Future Kids franchise, waiting it out. Well, she was so successful at Future Kids, she never did make it over to Jet Propulsion Labs. She was promoted to center director, and within 2 years later, she was promoted to CEO of the entire Future Kids franchise. She has also held senior roles at education franchises Goddard Systems and the Huntington Learning Centers.
So I'm a little peculiar, but you know, some people that are ambitious that have good but not great careers, or great but not as great as others, when you hear a story like this, she came here, she couldn't even speak the tongue of this.
She left a war-torn area.
Yeah,
right.
And taught herself English, and she's got an amazing career. You know, those that aren't quite there might get down on themselves. But this is not a story about getting down. This is a story about recognizing how amazing it is. And it truly is the American dream coming true, even if you're not into music. But if you want to raise the next generations of children that are into music, take them to the School of Rock. It's an ideal franchise for you. Speaking of Huntington Learning Centers, another powerhouse woman on our list is Aileen Huntington, co-founder of the Huntington Learning Center. So a nice tie-in there.
Right.
As I mentioned earlier in this segment, Entrepreneur have ranked education franchises one of the fastest-growing franchise segments this year. With 220 franchises thus far, the New Jersey-based tutorial franchise hopes to catch on to the next rocket ship of information-based franchises.
Right, and education-based franchises, I think, is an interesting breakout because as a parent, you've got education, free education, if you know you send your kids to public schools, and in private schools, you tend to have tutoring that's available. But what I like is that there's a focus on education. So whether it's getting tutorials for passing the SATs or the GMATs, there's definitely more opportunities in the education space, which I'm a big fan of. Well, Aileen's story, is Aileen Huntington, of which franchise is actually named after, was formerly a high school teacher, and she saw firsthand how her students struggled with reading and math. Well, in 1977, she quit her teaching job to start a tutoring business. Now, this is truly ahead of the industry itself. In the 70s, no one's talking about an education-based business. Well, it's been a slow growth for her business model as she and her husband started 37 years ago, but they are poised for growth now by reducing startup costs, size of real estate requirements on owners, and more efficient training. They are more focused on finding the right talent, which I think is great, for franchisee owners to grow their model. So the article in the Entrepreneur magazine and why they ranked her was really focused on her ability to harness talent, and that while you may be a business owner that's focused on education and maybe you come from an educational background, if the talent of the new franchisee owners are not ones that are going to be excited and be energetic about tutoring and really have the skill set to draw in parents and students to feel comfortable in their centers, she's already identifying that as weak spots to being owners for her future franchisees.
That's some really cool franchises with women leaders and founders. And so to another segment of the 2015 to watch, young entrepreneurs, they don't have as much of a footprint, funding, or experience as the ladies we've reviewed thus far, but they are helping to strengthen the bench of talented women entrepreneurs for the next generation.
Jay, you're absolutely right. If we want to continue to see women not only breaking glass ceilings across the board in every industry, we have to have a deep bench of women executives and entrepreneurs to choose from. Well, this next batch of women made headlines this past week for making the Forbes 30 Under 30 list. That's right, the top 30 entrepreneurs under 30 years old. And this is 30 years old. Can you believe that?
They say youth is wasted on the young, and that certainly applies to me. I wish I was more responsible in my 20s. I'd like a new designation. So the top 20 under 20, 2X. That would be kind of like me and others, right? 22X.
Well, remember, 40 is the new 30, so in spirit, we can qualify you on some lists. Well, Forbes just released their 30 Under 30 class of 2015 with game changers of young entrepreneurs transforming the world.
We can get you on some lists. None of the ones here. But
so, I want to be positive for you, dear.
So to clarify, the 30 Under 30 is represented in 20 distinct fields, which is why there are 600 young entrepreneurs on this list. But to focus on the young woman who made 30 Under 30 in the arts and style category would be to look at Michelle Phan, the 27-year-old founder of Ipsy.
Yeah, she's a big name. And
what is Ipsy?
Well, before you even get to Ipsy, her story is amazing. Michelle Phan has been a regular feature last year on just about any entrepreneurial mention in terms of young and up-and-coming entrepreneurs. She's a speaker as well. And that's because the 27-year-old founder was a celebrity before she even founded Ipsy. The Vietnamese immigrant started her first entrepreneurial venture when she started blogging at the age of 15 years old. By 20 years old, she moved to YouTube and started providing a series of how-to makeup videos, and her first video averaged about 40,000 views a week. Then at 25 years old, she seems to be going in five-year increments. At 25 years old, in 2012, her internet popularity as her foundation, she launched Ipsy, a subscription-based cosmetics line. And Jay, you're going to love this. With only 2 years in production, her company is expected to generate $120 million this year. And that's not all. She's also launching a separate makeup line with conglomerate L'Oreal, a music venture promoting new artists on social media, and lastly, her third venture is a reality TV deal with Endermal for an online lifestyle channel. And what does Michelle Phan feel about all of this success? You're going to love this quote. I feel like this is just the beginning. If this is the beginning at 27, we're in for a lot of inventions. She might be the new Richard Branson.
What else is she going to do, make movies? Wait, she kind of did with the YouTube videos, and she's only 27. That's pretty impressive. Well, I don't know how I beat that or how anyone beats that. So how are two 20-year-olds with Oprah and Sarah Jessica Parker as your subscribers? Enter Danielle Weisberg and Carly Zakin, co-founder of The Skim. With more than a million subscribers, 20% whom are men, Weisberg and Zakin created customizable news content which subscribers receive every morning. They call it a kind of concierge of news content. They received their big break after it was mentioned on the Today Show. Last year alone, they raised $6.25 million in funding and have a partnership with Oprah.com. With only 8 people on their staff, their goal is to make a new lifestyle, to make news a lifestyle brand. Check out Skim. $6.2 million in funding and there's only 8 people there. I mean, that's pretty...
Well, 1 million subscribers is what I find seriously impressive. In fact, we need to talk to them about branding and marketing. Well, next on the list... On the 30 Under 30, AT&T selected her as their feature, and her name is Jessica Matthews. She's the co-founder and CEO of Uncharted Plane. And this is a fairly new group to the list. It's a for-profit social enterprise that manufactures energy-generating sports products. I know that's kind of weird to get your head around it. Well, her company has only recently taken off in the last 6 months after signing a major contract in Nigeria. Her main product is a soccer ball called the Socket, which converts kinetic energy from play into electricity that can be used as clean, off-grid power source in developing countries. Now, that's a great idea.
Playing football or soccer generating clean energy, that's certainly an alternative form of energy that we're used to seeing. Another reason to get our kids out to go outside, generate some energy, then come home. Last on our list on the 30 Under 30 women entrepreneurs is also the social sector, but a not-for-profit. Kia Williams, a 20-year-old co-founder of Serum, which stands for Supporting Initiatives to Redistribute Unused Medicine. That's a great acronym. This is an interesting issue. $5 billion worth of unexpired prescription drugs are destroyed, unopened, usually by hospitals or nursing homes when the patient either dies or leaves their care. Meanwhile, 50 million Americans cannot afford to fill these needed prescriptions. Serum currently works with 12 healthcare sites, largely in California, Colorado, and Oregon, to redistribute $3 million worth of meds to 20,000 patients. He has stated, "We're like the Match.com for unused drugs. They're looking for additional funding to go nationwide." This is really cool.
Yeah. It actually bogged my mind when I first saw the article. $5 billion of prescription drugs, and they're always expensive, it just gets thrown away. And one of the issues why Kia and her other co-founders started this is, so say, for instance, you go and you have pneumonia and you're in the hospital. Well, they assign you, obviously, prescription drugs and they put it aside. Well, if you leave, they're not allowed to redistribute it, so it just goes in the trash. And so I think that's a great use of resources and to help out a great cause. Well, we talked about this last week when you were reviewing Elizabeth Holmes, founder of Theranos, on her groundbreaking technology, making healthcare safer and more affordable. This is tragic that much medication goes to waste when we can legally find a home for the 50 million Americans who cannot afford their prescriptions. I love these new inventions and these great entrepreneurs that create services that benefit our well-being and healthcare altogether. Truly inspirational.
And truly fantastic opportunities and stories for these young women who made the 30 under 30 list. Check it out in newsstands today or online in the Forbes January edition.
Well, how was that? It was another great week of women headliners to hopefully help keep you motivated to start your 2015 out with a bang. Now, we didn't cover everybody on the list because we only have an hour, so do check out 30 Under 30 lists on Forbes.
Well, I'm on that list.
50 Under 50 times. And then also check out Entrepreneurs Magazine and their rankings of the Franchise 500. We've had a great week, and I truly believe it will be a banner year with more and more women breaking out in executive and entrepreneurial ranks. We're excited and looking forward to this year to report on their successes. We grow each year, ladies. Let's keep it going.
This was fun. Want to do it next week?
Yes, let's do it. Thanks for listening, folks. Have a great week.